Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, and thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Food for Thought, a podcast on a mission to equip you with all the evidence-based advice that you need to live and breathe a healthy lifestyle. I'm Rhiannon Lambert, a registered nutritionist, best-selling author of Renourish, A Simple Way to Eat Well, and founder of Retrition, London's leading private nutrition clinic. In each episode, I'll be joined by special guests, all of whom can be considered authoritative voices in health, so that together we can learn fact from fiction and empower the healthiest and happiest versions of ourselves with trusted expert advice. The number of vegans in the UK has quadrupled in recent years, yet turning plant-based can still be daunting for many. Thankfully, the smallest of adjustments can lead to big changes to your health and that of the planet's too. This week's Food for Thought sees zero waste chef and author Max Lamanna and I breathe new energy into plant-based living, sustainability, and explore making the most of leftovers, typically destined for the bin. Hello, Max.
Hello. Nice to be here.
Yeah, nice to have you on the podcast finally. I've wanted to chat to you for such a long time because I feel like you're kind of like the poster boy for zero waste cooking. And I guess what I want to know is, does absolutely nothing really get left behind? Because I think that's what everybody really thinks. Surely there's something at home that hasn't been used.
Oh my God, absolutely. And thank you for saying that. I don't feel like I'm the poster boy. I'm just trying to do the best that I possibly can. And things do slip away. You know, sometimes I don't see, or I'm not managing the food I have in my fridge or in my pantry in time. I'm not getting to it in time, and it's sometimes I have to compost it and put it away. I don't have a rubbish bin where I'm putting food into. So if I do have scraps of food that I'm not eating, that is going to compost. So it is brought into or returned to soil or made into new energy. So yeah, some things slip away, but not that much.
Yeah, that's actually quite reassuring, I think, for our listeners, because a lot of the time, the pressure, I think, that we can put on ourselves, and it's actually quite nice to hear that you compost, though. I do that at home as well, and I've got used to the smell now, actually, whenever I open it to put a new item of food in. I think let's kick off this podcast, then, by saying the fact that vegetables, I guess a lot of people don't think they're terribly exciting, and that's a big problem, especially in the UK. I don't know if you find it the same, because I know you've been fortunate enough to travel quite a bit as well, but you go to show, I think, that this just isn't true. How can people get more creative, Max, without being too complex?
I mean, have you ever made a cheese made from beef? You know, and that may sound really crazy and strange. Why am I saying this? But I can make cheese from cashews. I can make cheese from walnuts. I can make cheese from tofu. So with plants, I find it, you know, I didn't always grow up. I wasn't always vegan or plant-based. And having a chef for a father and growing up in restaurants and working through restaurants, I was eating meat. I was eating cheese. I was dairy, everything, fish. You name it, I was eating it. Anyway, back to plants. Plants give me the opportunity and the ability to be very, very creative in the kitchen. And a lot of the food that I cook I look at the ingredients from root to stem. I'm looking at the peelings. I'm looking at the tops of carrots. I'm looking at the potato peelings. I'm looking at the seeds of butternut squash or a pumpkin and finding, what can I do with this? Can I be creative with this? And that does, it does take a moment to exercise that creativeness, because we all have that, I think, within all of us. It just takes a moment to go, what can I do with this? And I just made a pumpkin pasta with a sage and walnut crumble.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I used the leftover pumpkin seeds, roasted them, and then opened them up, and then cracked them on top of the pasta. So nothing went to waste. So it's just finding that creative side to be resourceful in the kitchen.
That's incredible. I think that really goes to show that anything is kind of possible. That sounded delicious, by the way. I'm so jealous of, and it's Venetia, isn't it? Your gorgeous wife that gets to eat all the delicious food. You two are the dream team.
She might not get to it in time.
I hope you save some for her, Max. I think hearing how you grew up, though, and trying those things, it's really refreshing that you're quite honest and open about that, because everybody, I don't think the awareness was quite there, was it? Let's say 10, 20 years ago, in terms of the difference that we can make as individuals to the planet, or it wasn't as widespread a message, I think, as it is today. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. We didn't, you know, there wasn't social media back then. And now we have that platform to really kind of have it as a soundboard where we're able to just speak and have it reach people all around the world. You know, I find that incredible. I find it a very valuable tool. It's just very important what you share and what you speak and create into existence. You know, the good, the bad, the ugly. But I think it's really important that there have been people recycling and composting food waste and making sure that food didn't go to waste for, you know, ever since the dawn of man, the dawn of woman. It's so important that we continue to, I think, cook this way and learn from other people. And I'm constantly trying to learn and look at other creative ways to recycle food and repurpose food and make sure that nothing, and I say nothing with air quotes, nothing goes to waste, because it's better to eat the food. It's traveled, it's taken, you know, labor and packaging and transportation and energy to get on your plate. And if you're just scraping it off your plate into the rubbish bin, then, you know, you're not just wasting food and all the things that came with it, but you're also wasting your money. So be more creative in the kitchen.
Yeah, I love that. And I think at the time we're recording this episode, regardless to when everybody listens to this back, we're recording during a national lockdown in the UK. And I think the year of 2020 has definitely seen a resurgence of cooking that I think was missing, because our fast-paced lives meant a lot more convenience on the go. Options were out there and everybody was leaning towards them. But I feel like now, actually, Max, is quite a good time for people to you know, get a bit of a spark back in the kitchen. Because for those people that can't fathom giving up, I guess, cheese or steak forever, I mean, you don't need to eat 100% plant-based, do you, to see the health benefits?
Not at all. Definitely not. And I'll never push anyone or say anyone, tell anyone to go vegan or go plant-based. My ethos is just eat more plants and create less waste. And I think all people can do that. It's just minimizing reducing the amount of, you know, maybe it's reducing the amount of meat or the cheese or the milk or fish. It's just reducing a little bit of that and eating more plants. I'm not a health specialist. I'm not a nutritionist, but I think if you eat more plants and you put more vegetables and more fruit on your plate and more of those ingredients on your plate, you can have a healthier lifestyle.
I do think, Max, I mean, you've mentioned before, you made cheese out of, you know, nuts and things. And although that might seem obvious to lots of people that are already plant-based eaters, there will be people listening to this thinking, what? How do you do that? Would you say that making the switch then to going plant-based, obviously we're not claiming it's going to work miracles in We don't judge food choices on the Food for Thought platform. I don't believe in that. I think everybody can make a choice. But would you say going plant-based has made you a better cook? Because you're already, you know, pretty exceptional. And now, would you say that's added a level then of creativity?
That's interesting. I would say yes. But I didn't cook as much then as I do now. And when I say then, I'm meaning when I wasn't plant-based or vegan. So it's when I moved out of my parents' house and I was living on my own, I was cooking vegetables and cooking plants because those were like the less expensive ingredients I could get my hands on. So I was, you know, 20-something living in New York City trying to make it work and chase my dreams and aspirations and trying to, you know, save money too. While also trying to chase those dreams, like I said, but I feel very creative and I enjoy cooking with plants and vegetables. And, you know, when I found out that I can make cheese from nuts and from cashews and, or walnuts or almonds, and I can do that, that just opened up a whole door. That opened up possibilities, endless opportunities. You know, tops of carrots I can make a pesto with, the peels of potatoes, which, you know, may not shock anyone, but you can make crisps out of the potato peelings. Instead of chucking them in the bin, lay them on a baking sheet, throw them in the oven with a little bit of oil and salt and pepper, and then you'll have crisps. So there's always something to do. There's always something there, I think, in my experience in the kitchen, is that there's always something there for you to do with the food.
Yeah. And I think evolutionarily speaking, we're actually so lucky, for anybody that obviously consumes animal produce, we're actually quite lucky to even have access to it without, there's lots of people that believe that, you know, we used to have to hunt for these sorts of things and we now have them at the, you know, tips of our fingers whenever we wish. And we've kind of lost a sense, I think, or an appreciation perhaps of how precious food is as a commodity and how lucky we are to have food. So for our listeners, what tips and tricks do you have? What would you recommend? Any good recipes that they can start with at home? Putting you on the spot a little bit there.
Yeah, no worries. I feel like I'm always on the spot whenever I walk into the kitchen. I can give a lot of recipes. I can share a bunch of tips. I think the most important thing for people to do is, first and foremost, is to plan ahead. I think looking at the ingredients you already have in your fridge or in your cupboard and make use of those first before you go out to the supermarket and buy more things. I think that's the first and foremost. And make friends with your freezer. Save food in your freezer, like the loaf of bread. If you're not going to use the whole entire thing when you bring it home, save half the loaf, put it in the freezer. Or the same thing with like bagged spinach. Bread and spinach, bagged salads are one of the top most wasted foods in the UK. Over 1 million bags of spinach are wasted every single day in the UK, and 20 million slices of bread are thrown away. So we at home, it's our, you know, our duty, but also, you know, because we're talking here and I'm not talking to the government yet. We can do something at home. We have the access. We're buying this food. Let's not waste it. Let's not throw it away. So, recipes, think, you know, with leftover bread, if your bread is going off or going stale, you can, blend your bread into crumbs. So you have bread crumbs. You know, throw that on top of a baked macaroni and cheese. You have that nice golden crust layer. If you have, you know, more loaf of breads, croutons, you can make bread pudding with bagged spinach. I usually keep that leftover spinach that I have. If I know that it's, you know, I'm not going to get to it in time, I save it in the freezer. I blend it up into a smoothie later on, or I throw it into a stir fry or a soup. What's another ingredient? Potatoes are another ingredient. So almost 5 million potatoes are thrown away every day in the UK, which is just like, oh, I love a spud. I just love having, you know, a baked potato or having some sort of baked dish with the potatoes and maybe a shepherd's pie. That's what
I do.
With
Max, the thing is, I mean, in the UK, unfortunately, we've got this misconception. It's interesting you mentioned bread and potatoes, but we have a misconception that carbs are bad for you. And I'm convinced that maybe that plays a role there with that the amount of waste of those items. But yeah, I'm shocked. Maybe. I'm completely blown away by those figures that you just mentioned.
So potato and bread are the top two most wasted foods in the UK. So maybe that is. Maybe it is the carbs. Or maybe it's also the poor storage. So potatoes should be kept in a pool, dry and well-ventilated space, like maybe your cupboard, instead of keeping them in the fridge or, you know, and next, if the potatoes are next to, I think, onions, they sprout quicker. So people are turned off by the sprouts. So that's one thing. And then also bread too. You take it home and you turn your back and all of a sudden it's stale. So, and maybe it is. I mean, is it the carbs?
This is just it. And I do think utilizing the freezer, like you said earlier, like bread does freeze. Yeah. So, you know, I always put it in actually pretty much the day I buy it because I know what I'm like. And then I can just get out a slice and defrost it when I need or chuck it in the toaster, that kind of thing. But I love those ideas. Thank you for sharing those because that's actually quite inspirational. Already I'm thinking, oh, I haven't used breadcrumbs in ages on recipes. And I used to put them on avocado as well. So it's kind of crisp on the outside of an avocado. Which I used to like doing. But if we go back to when you're opting for a plant-based diet, what have you experienced? Because I know anecdotally a lot of people say, you know, they feel a bit better, that sort of thing. And obviously I'm an evidence-based nutritionist and I like to stick to the facts. But when opting for a plant-based diet, there are, of course, lots of different anecdotal cases of, oh, I feel so much better or suddenly I feel amazing. But if we discuss other things that are not just health-related, what else would you say are the benefits of picking a plant-based diet? What are the positive effects?
I went vegan for the first time a little over 8 years ago, fell off, went back to eating meat and fish and chicken and cheese and everything else that was underneath the sun, and then came back to being plant-based about a little over 4 years ago. At this point in time, I have no idea. I can't tell the difference between the day to day with food. I feel healthy. I feel strong. I can go for a run, you know, a long run and feel, you know, the next day if I eat good food, I recover. But, you know, it's not to say that, you know, being vegan or being plant-based is the healthiest of options. You can still drink Coca-Cola and eat, you know, vegan cheesy fries or something and still live an unhealthy lifestyle.
Well, do you know what I really appreciate there is you're staying in your lane, first of all, but obviously giving, you know, an insight into different things, because I think a lot of confusion comes actually when we hear things that are not grounded in scientific evidence. Or telling a story is quite inspirational, but it can lead people down a dangerous route, I think. So I think we should maybe steer away from discussing the benefits of a plant-based diet in that way. And let's talk about how on earth people are going to start growing veggies in their home. Because I think in the city, I mean, I always lived in a flat without a garden, but I'd started to do some balcony plants. So perhaps for listeners that have a windowsill or they have an allotment maybe, or their garden, what tips do you have for growing stuff at home?
Just try it. Just give it a go and try it out. I think right now, and you may be, you know, perplexed by the idea and think there's no way that you're going to be able to do this, and you need a veg patch, you need an allotment, you need a full-size garden to regrow veggies. I've known people to even grow avocados in London in their flats. It takes 5 years to grow an avocado from an avocado pit, but it takes a long time, and you need the proper climate. But I'm going to wait another year or two and see where they're at with that avocado plant. For me, I try to choose the easiest options. I don't want any more. I don't want it to be hard. I don't want it to be stressful. I just want it to be easy. And you know, some things take some time. So I regrow basil. You may say basil. I say basil. I'm regrowing basil at the moment, and every time I regrow it, every time I go to the supermarket and I buy a bag of basil, I take off a few of the leaves, I place the stem in water and change the water every couple of days. In a few weeks, sometimes within 4 or 5 days, roots start to appear very, very slightly, very, very subtly. They'll start to emerge from the base of the root. basil the same, excuse me. And I've replanted basil during the summer where, you know, warmer weather, warmer climate, for the UK, at least, for these basil leaves. And I've done that before. So, and the same thing can be done with coriander, with parsley, with mint. You can regrow ginger. You can plant, you know, a thumb-sized piece of ginger, soak it in water for 24 hours, overnight, 24 hours, and then place it in soil and just water it every day. Just water a little bit every day, and you'll start to have a shoot of ginger emerge from the soil. And there's all the sorts of tips and tricks, like regrowing ginger and onions and pineapples and avocados. What else can you grow? Mushrooms. You can regrow mushrooms at home. And all these tips and tricks are in my cookbook. Also, I've done a series with BBC Earth, and I highlight a few foods that you can regrow at home, especially during, you know, this crazy time that we're living in.
That's so cool. It's something quite magical. It's almost like the beauty of life, you know, reborn again. It's really quite inspiring, Max. And I think it's really something our listeners can take on board. I'm going to have to listen back. But I've got a copy of your book, so I can find it in the book. But for everybody listening back, just make some notes on what we just discussed there, and then you can start as well from something that you've got left over. It's brilliant. Let's now veer the conversation, Max, into plastic. I suppose we have to bring it up on this podcast. When you go shopping, so much of it, you mentioned like bagged spinach and things, is unrecyclable packing. How can we get around this? What can we do? What do you think we can do?
Well, there was a couple of years where I was not consuming plastic or bringing plastic into my life. I think that's unavoidable. You can't avoid plastic. It is a reliable instrument or ingredient or option that we use, you know, for food protection and safety and so many things. I don't want to, you know, say that plastic is the best thing that there is. It has its side effects and it has its negative impact on the environment as well. We should be pressuring our government. We should be speaking to our government because also, I'm gonna veer off a little bit now. The top 100 companies in the world create 71% of the global carbon emissions. And that's not us from just having a bag of salad, having spinach in our home. We're not creating heavy amounts of carbon into the atmosphere. So there's things that we can do. There's the small things we can do by opting and not choosing plastic, you know. But if it's there and it's accessible, and you know, I'll go into Sainsbury's or Tesco and I see, you know, there's a bin that's, you know, a reduced section, and I see a bag of spinach in there, I'm going to grab that bag of spinach and go home with it, because you know what? They're not going to compost this. They're not going to remove it from the plastic bag and empty it out. And for a head of lettuce, if it's wrapped in, it doesn't matter if it's wrapped in plastic or not, but if a head of lettuce enters a landfill, it's embalmed for decades at a time. For 25 years, that head of lettuce will be decomposing over time. And while it's decomposing, it's emitting a greenhouse gas called methane. You may say methane. I say methane. So the food that we consume and the food that is left over in the supermarkets, again, like I said, are embalmed for decades at a time. It takes a long time for food to decompose. And if that head of lettuce was taken out of its plastic bag and composted on a farm or in our back gardens, in our compost heap, that head of lettuce would take a month, 2 months, 3 months to decompose into rich soil, rich fertilizer. And for it to sit in a landfill for 25 years, this is a fact. You can find it online. I think it's the better option of choosing that than saying, you know what, I'm not going to do it. But then again, we also need to do something. We need to speak up. We need to tell our supermarkets that we want a better option. We want package-free options. And then, you know, there are supermarkets that have package-free aisles, but this isn't accessible for everyone. So what can we do? And I think speaking up and standing up and writing to our government, writing to our MPs and letting them know what we want. This is the time to speak up and stand up for what we want and what's right for us and for the planet.
Yeah, I like what you said there as well, how it's not accessible for everyone. First of all, those facts are very enlightening. And I think it takes small changes to make a big result. And that's what I hope that our listeners will take away from this episode, is that if you have the power to pick plastic free sometimes in the supermarket, then do it. If you have the ability to get a compost in and just do it, because councils do come and pick up compost. You know, you can put it outside the front and they'll actually take it if you don't have a garden for you. And obviously check the local council boroughs, because I believe they're different. I'm not an expert in that area at all. But I do think that it doesn't have to be a huge grand gesture. Sometimes these little things can make a difference. And like Max said, the government aren't suddenly going to change everything overnight. And it's not an option for people that are living in different circumstances. So if you're able to, please do. What about best before dates then? Because I think that's very confusing. I know nutritionally, obviously they're there for a reason. I can speak from a public health perspective that, of course, you know, you don't want to get sick. There's all the different growths of bacteria. There's legislation involved here. But actually, they're just a guide, aren't they?
Yeah.
What do you think about how food is thrown out all the time?
Yeah, food's always thrown out, and the government make it, I think, difficult for us to understand sometimes, and I'm sometimes confused. Best before, used by, all these labels and all these, you know, titles on our bags of, on our produce, and I'm so confused sometimes that it takes me a moment to, realize, okay, that's what that means. So for best before, like, you know, it's not about the quality, but it's more about it's about quality and not safety. And the food might be safe to eat after this date, but it may not be its best, right? So what I tend to do, and I see, and I'm keeping an eye on, you know, I'm always checking, I'm smelling, and I think the best thing to do is to use your senses. Smell the food, possibly taste the food, touch the food, see if it's, you know, if it's slimy and gross. I don't know if I want to be eating that. If it smells rancid or smells sour, I don't know if I want to eat that. But use your senses, you know. So I think that's the best thing. But also, if it's the best before, it means that it's going to be better. The quality is going to be better before. Afterwards, you can still eat it, but maybe save the food, maybe freeze it. But then again, I'm walking backwards now, because I'm speaking to you. So, what do you think is the best?
Well, no, I completely agree. I think that as human beings, we've been very conditioned to live a life via exact timings, rules, structure, dates, everything very number orientated. And actually, we've lost touch of first how to eat our food mindfully and being aware of our produce, of where it comes from, which also relates to best before dates. So I sit in on the fence here in a way, because I know they're there for a reason, especially, you know, you have to be very careful with these things if you're pregnant, for instance. I know I had to be particularly careful about produce I consumed. But on the flip side, if we all knew, if we all just smelled, let's use milk as an example, people that consume milk, if you smelled it, you would know when it's off very quickly. And I don't think people actually do that anymore. I don't think we know the senses when it comes to food. So, and in fact, things like eggs in particular are often okay. I think there's that traditional test that your mum may have showed you where you put eggs in the water if they sit to the bottom, or this kind of... all these old wives' tales, but things that ring are true, actually, and are worth valuing. But we've discussed recyclable packaging, what we can do. We've discussed best before dates may need to be taken with a pinch of salt. So, Max, how achievable is zero waste in terms, I don't know, maybe a percentage or a... what are your thoughts on it?
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Again, I think this, I've switched gears in the last year, being, you know, zero waste, and I had the conversation with a friend earlier. I said zero waste is not attainable. You cannot be 100% zero waste. Me speaking to you right now, you know, we're at home. I'm speaking, you know, I have a headset, I have a computer. All this material, all this technology comes from somewhere, and I have to plug this computer in afterwards, and that is energy, and that's, you know, and I have, you know, a great energy provider that uses renewable energy, but not everyone has that. And, you know, the food that we consume, the food that we that comes into our country, comes into the UK, comes from all around the world. And so, you know, you may say you're zero waste, or you may want to be zero waste, but I don't think it's, I think zero waste is a hook. It's a hook to get people to, you know, look at you and go, huh, what is this? And gives people an opportunity to look at their own choices and look what they're, how they're living. But I don't think it's achievable and attainable for everyone. And, you know, it may be for some, and some people may think it's all great and dandy to be, you know, minimalist and to be a zero waste. And I don't want to confuse people. I'm in the kitchen. I'm low waste in the kitchen, or zero waste in the kitchen when it comes to cooking. I still buy, you know, I'm buying food that comes in packaging, but I try to do the best I can. And certainly in this crazy time that we're living in, this strange time, life has presented itself to me, and life has said, look, take your time, go slower, enjoy life, enjoy the things you bring into your life. And that's not to say I'm going to buy everything that's wrapped in plastic, mm-hmm. because I don't think that's the smartest choice either. So, you know, if I have the opportunity, I have the chance, I'm going to go to a farmer's market. I'm going to go online and look at what farmers markets are available and speak to the farmers, know how they're, you know, are you spraying the food with pesticides? You know, I'm doing my bit. I'm getting to know my farmers, because I think, you know, little side note, I think the energy you put into the food for these people who are farming our food too, we want to know that they're putting, you know, love and care into the food, because that I think also comes back to us when we consume. So if we're buying food from across the world, how do we know who the heck is handling our food, and are they handling our food with care and love? You know, I don't want to sound hippy and dippy, but I think it's important that we treat the food that we have that comes into our bodies with respect and care. And, you know, when we come home from the supermarket, don't just throw your food out on the ground. Put it out, take it out, clean your food. So it's back to zero waste. Yeah, it's not achievable. It's not attainable for everyone. And I think the best thing and the most important thing is do the best you can and take small steps. Because those small steps are going to create bigger changes. And when you feel like you've made those small changes and you've made bigger impacts in your community and in your circle and your family and friends, time to speak up a little louder and speak to the people who are in charge, like the people who are governing this country and who are governing our food. And it's time to wake up the nation.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's a good actual point. I think everything you've just said, I'm digesting it, and I think all our listeners will be as well. I'm going to take some questions from our listeners for you now, Max. I think it's quite appropriate on that note. So we all get the conversation going, and we can give them some tips and tricks to get started so we can treat everything in a different way. Right, Penelope has asked a question that I think everybody would love your thoughts on. Is organic really worth the price?
Mm-hmm. Hey, Penelope. Is organic worth the price? Yes and no. So I don't know if it's here, but maybe the Clean 15 and the Dirty Dozen. Do you have that report here in the UK, Rhiannon?
So we don't have, no, the impact in the same. The Dirty Dozen's definitely not here.
Okay.
It's a bit touch and go here in the UK, but share what you know and we'll go through that after.
Well, I'd like, when it comes to produce, I like to choose organic when possible. So, you know, certain ingredients like tomatoes and apples, you know, bagged spinach or leafy greens, I want to make sure that they're organic, because I believe they have, you're going to be eating most likely the skin of that ingredient. So they're going to be sprayed. If they are sprayed, they're going to be sprayed with chemicals. So I try to choose organic when impossible. And I think organic can be worth the price. Again, I think it's all in your head too sometimes. I think you can feel better and feel good when you know that you've put your money towards food, because that is nutrition, that is fuel for the body. And I think, you know, if you can start with one ingredient that you choose organic for one ingredient and stick to that until you can work up into, you know, living, you know, or having more organic options. Again, you can go back to you can go to regrowing your food, you know, or use the entire ingredient for something else. So regrow your food so you don't have to choose, go to the supermarket and spend money. You can use the free option right there of regrowing your food.
I love that, because actually I think it's the price is the problem, I think. And actually, nutritionally speaking, we have the research, not that different. But when it comes to the environment and perhaps the whole chain that's involved of getting that food to your door, then actually, yeah, we do need to be doing something there. So that was a very good question. I like that discussion that was raised there. So Lily has said, what's the one recipe to serve a meat eater to help them turn plant-based?
Oh, I like that. Lily, my favorite meat lover dish is my bolognese, my spaghetti bolognese. I think there's nothing better than having a rich, hearty, warm dish of just pasta, carbs, bring on the carbs, and having a bolognese. So what I like to do, and this may shock some people, is adding walnuts and mushrooms or eggplant into the sauce. And I soak the walnuts for a little bit and then add them to the sauce. But the walnuts give it a crunchy texture. And it has that with the protein and the fat, I think that is what you're craving, that texture and that fattiness. I think that is a great option. So look, my father and my brother are not plant-based, but they, whenever I cook this dish or whenever they make this dish, they're absolutely, you know, head over heels, loving this dish. So there's loads of options out there in the supermarkets if you're not wanting to cook, from plants. So there's Beyond Meat and Impossible Burger, and there's tons of options. So go to your local supermarket and look for those foods. But meat lovers will love these options.
Yeah, no, I love that. And you were right. All those healthy fats, walnuts are particularly rich in omega-3 as well, which is a crucial fatty acid, one of the polyunsaturated fatty acids we need for good cognition and a healthy brain, a healthy heart. So let's get those in. And that does move to our fact or fiction round, Max. Again, on the spot here, are you ready?
Oh gosh, I've been waiting for this moment. Let's go.
Okay, here we go. If you can answer fact or fiction to the following questions. Number one, You can be an unhealthy vegan.
Fact.
Number two, over 70% of the food we throw away could have been eaten.
Fact.
Number three, you'll not get enough nutrients on a plant-based diet.
You can't get enough nutrients on a plant-based diet.
Mm.
Who the heck said that? That's you can't get enough. What is that? So that's fiction.
There you go. Veganism is the most effective way to curb climate change.
Fact.
Love that. Getting enough protein on a vegan diet is hard.
Fiction.
You'll lose muscle going vegan.
Fiction.
So all the ones you probably hear all the time. If you go plant-based, you need to eat more food.
Fiction.
Recycling is pointless because it ends up in landfill anyway.
Ooh. That is a fact. There is, I think, like 90% or 90-something, like 91% of the recyclables that we put out to the curb that end up being picked up never really ever get recycled. So, yeah, it's going to landfill.
Aww. And number the last one, veganism isn't suitable for children.
I mean, I'm no longer a child, and nor do I have any. Is it not suitable for children? I think that's fiction.
That was a good fact or fiction round. We got you thinking there.
Yeah. Oh, you did.
It's hard because the reason why we do them, Max, is because there's never a lot of the time. I mean, some are obviously a fact or fiction, but so many things are on the fence, aren't they? You can't say yes or no to so many things. And that does, unfortunately, nearly wrap up the episode. But with every guest, we finish with a food for thought. And I'll kick off ours today by saying that I think what really hit home to me throughout our discussion, Max, is the fact that I think we have become a nation. Well, in most cases, of course, there are still areas of deprivation, but a nation of plenty. And that's what's so sad, because so many still go hungry. And we do suffer from malnutrition here in the UK. Just around last year, we wasted a staggering £9.7 billion on food. And this is an astronomical amount and a sum that could be drastically reduced. And this food could go to others who need it. And in a time where food banks need our support, I would just urge people to try and give those as well. And perhaps the top tip I would take away is everyone could have a compost bin in their house. I think what can inspire us all is the realization that we do have the ability to make these small changes, and that they will have a big lasting impact long term. But I guess that's my food for thought. Max, if you could leave our listeners with a take home message, something you're particularly passionate to get across, what would that be?
Yeah, you touched on it lightly too, with giving back and the donations and the food banks, with the holidays approaching and with the government finally deciding that they will provide free meals to children in the UK during the holidays and no one goes hungry. This is important, and we can't stop here. I say we because I believe there's other listeners out there too who are also on the same mission to help and feed people and make sure that food doesn't go to waste. So let's continue to do this. Let's not just stop. This needs to continue. We need to drastically reduce the amount of food that we are wasting. And it could start with one bag of spinach. It can start with one banana. It can start with one potato and work your way towards reducing less and less and less in your life. So then, you know, if it does come down, you'll end up saving more money, and you can also donate that food too. So, but I think we need to take those steps in our own personal lives and help others in need too.
Oh, I love that. Thank you, Max. It's been so lovely chatting to you today, and I've been quite inspired, to be honest, as well, to get back in the kitchen a bit more and get a bit more creative, I think. And I want to spread a bit more awareness where I can. That's where I hope this podcast will help. So where can our listeners go to find out more about you? And you mentioned the books earlier and the programs that you feature on. Where can our listeners go?
Yeah, you can find me in a bulk section in Whole Foods. I'm usually there just scooping out some hemp seeds and cashew nuts. You can find me there. You can find me online. I'm Max Lamana on social media. You can send me an email, go on my website, and then go and look out for my book, More Plants, Less Waste. But I hope everyone who's listened has enjoyed this podcast and has possibly made some small changes, or they will make some small changes in their life.
I hope so too. Max, thank you so much for coming on Food for Thought.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode, you'll absolutely love what's coming next week. So make sure that you click subscribe to be the first to hear it. And if you have the time to, we'd really appreciate it if you could leave a review so that we can reach higher highs in the charts. And hopefully that will help us reach more and more people. For more information about my Retrition Clinic, the books, healthy recipes, and so much more, please do visit retrition.com. And you can follow me on social media at Retrition on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.